October 9th, 2019, and I call the Planning and Development Extension Education meeting to order. Agenda item number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, it was.
We're all good? Okay. Number two, review and recommendation to the Finance Committee regarding the proposed 2020 UW Extension budgets.
What happened to our yikes?
I don't know. I have a chart.
One wasn't able to make it. One was.
One of our youth and governance, Seth Rosen, said he wasn't going to be able to make it.
Seth,
I thought Casey was going to be here. I'll have to double check the email.
Okay. Jim, are you taking it?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Passing
Madam Chairperson. I handed out a small handout. It's got six pages. There's four pages of UW Extension budget material and then two pages of planning and development, which I believe is next on the agenda. First page is a summary of the UW Extension budget comparing 2019 to 2020, the budgets. So what I could start like at a real summary level and say there's no headcount. So we used to have some headcount here. We had one person, but she is now in parks.
It still works with us, but she's in the parks budget.
Nancy Rotana, they love her in parks.
We love her too.
Everybody loves her.
She's a love person. She does a nice job. She's brought in a couple million bucks worth of grants. So she's doing a good job. The largest number that's in the UW Extension budget is the other professional services. So on pages 3 and 4, I put a comparison of 2019 budget and a 2020 budget. 2019 budget is on page 4. It shows all the individuals, the percentage of the full-time equivalent that we pay for, their salary and fringe. And these numbers come from the state of Wisconsin, and we signed a contract to pay for these people. In 2019, the budget was $182,648. And for the 2020 budget, it's $183,900. So it's gone up about $1,252, I think is the number. So that is the big number that's in the UW Extension budget. The rest of the items in there, they really haven't changed much. Data processing costs, telecom, motor vehicle maintenance, travel, staff development. We increased travel and staff development a little bit. But in total, the budget is, the levy to support UW Extension is $207,616 compared to $205,101 last year. That's a $2,500 increase, or somewhere around 2%.
1.2%.
Yeah, it's a small, manageable number.
Does anyone have quick questions on that page? Yes, sir.
To the director, is there any vacancies right now in UW Extension, or are they all filled?
They are actually all filled right now. Busy doing programming, which is great.
Last year, a couple years, that's been tough to do.
Yes, it has been.
And then the increase in mileage and travel has to do with staff development then? More training and sending them other places?
Well, we switched, and so for Lee Presley, our agriculture educator, we had used to have her mileage in the state contract, because she also works in Kenosha County, and now we just have her submit the Kenosha County expense report. It's much simpler, and then bill Racine County for the half of it. And so that never got moved from one place to the other, so that's one of the increased travel this year.
Question following up on Supervisor Poole's question about vacancies. Like last year we had vacancies. Does our contract with UW adjust based on that?
Yeah, I was just talking with the Extension Finance Director in Madison, and so what happens is there's probably a month and a half where we didn't have the horticulture educator, which VJ is at about 0.3, so that when they do the second invoice for 2019, they'll subtract that for any time that we didn't have an educator or staff there.
So we'll see that amount, even though it's small, come back to us?
We just don't bill for it from the state, so it just...
This is budget to budget. The actual will be less than the budget.
There'll be an adjustment for...
Yes.
Let's say April or whatever. Okay. Supervisor Skolinski.
Yeah, when do we sign this contract? Is that, I'm assuming, incumbent upon the exec?
Yeah, it goes to the...
Yeah, Jim Kurzer signs it. Okay. Can we sign it for next year?
No, it'll be after the budget's passed.
Because we used to sign it, but they changed it, didn't they? Because it used to be half calendar year, and they also switched that to actual calendar year.
Well, they used to do it based on what we actually paid the people.
Right.
But now they came up with this formula of, this job is this amount, this job is this amount. And that's how they bill us. So the only way we get money back is if somebody doesn't fill that job, not dependent upon what their actual pay is.
So it really isn't a negotiated contract. They just send down what it is, and either we agree or don't agree. That's kind of the gist of it, is that correct?
Yeah, for the services that we're doing the programming.
Okay, the page two, there's two other chunks of the UW Extension budget. One is the office, we call it the office account. It's really, I think, programming. And then and that's on the top of the page. And the bottom of the page is after school projects. And we never have any levy for this. If we spend the money, we bill it back for the programs on the top. There's a supplies budget of $60,000, and the actuals has not been that high, but the revenue hasn't. The revenue and the supplies are kind of offset each other. There's no levy for that program. That's for all the classes and things that they teach. Then the bottom part is after school. If we have to provide people to do any after school things, we pay their salaries, but then we bill it back. It's KUSD is most of it, right? And so there's no levy involved with those. And that is the extent of the UW Extension budget.
Move to approve.
Yeah, unless anyone has any other questions. So, I mean, we have more UW Extension people that work in the SNAP program, but they're all federally, they're not through UW Extension because they're all federally funded. That's why we're not seeing them on here, correct?
Correct.
So they're kind of like
a value added. Yes.
Okay. Double check that I have that information correct.
Yes.
Anything else? Anything?
I move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Norrigan and second by Supervisor Skolinski. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's move on. Oops. You have to read something off your agenda first.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Number three, review and recommendation to the Finance Committee regarding the proposed 2020 Planning and Development Budget.
Okay. The Planning and Development Budget is on page 5 and 6. In your detail, in your book, it's on pages 135 through 159, and the bulk of it is on the first few pages of, like, 136, 137. What we do for all the departments in Public Works, I think all of you have served on that committee at one time or other. Page 5 is just a summary of the various appropriation levels. There's a personnel appropriation level, contracted services, supplies, and fixed. And we show those totals, and then we show what the various categories of revenue are for planning and development. And then on the bottom, we just put some notes about what's up and what's down. And this explains some of it. You might have some other questions, but I'll just buzz through this really quick. In the personnel area, we actually have the 2019 budget included an extra, just a partial person, because we had Dan Treloar for part of the year. So the budget for this year is 5 people. The budget for 2020 is 5 people. For this year was 5.25 people.
I'm sorry, 2019 was how many people?
5.25. We, Dan Treloar, we budgeted him for a quarter of the year, but then
this year's
retired.
5.5.
Yeah. So there's a care we have.
No, this year is 5.0.
Yeah.
5.0.
It's just right. 5 people, and they're all here. We're at full staff. So in the salary account, in the detail, there are some market adjustments, but there's also some changes in the benefits for those people. And we try to budget medical expense for what each individual is actually paying. So if you have a person that switches from zero to something, if you go from zero to single, it's like 10 grand. If you go from zero to family, it's 20 something. So I think we had somebody switch. But it's the same amount of people and just basic market, their regular adjustments, plus any changes in their benefits. So in contracted services, the one account that's different, and we've always had the account for professional services, but this year we put in an extra $40,000 to do some pre-work on tax-deeded properties. Before we buy them, the P&D guys are going to go and check them out.
Why is that P&D's job?
It's a good question.
Don't we have a county treasurer that makes how much money that has her own?
Yeah, so basically through the tax deed process, we've been involved with looking at the properties from a standpoint of from simply, is it floodplain, is it wetland, and then is there another use for the property, or what does the community that it's located in, what's their use, or if it's contaminated. And so we've kind of taken that role. It's been expanded a little bit through the whole hierarchy of how the whole tax delinquent process now works. And so those funds are being put there. So if we come across those properties that are contaminated, that we can do phase one and phase two to determine what that status is, and should we take action on them or not take action on them. Because previously, whenever there's been a thought of a property being contaminated, the county just didn't do anything with them. And so now, to at least have them so they're not just sitting there, we want to determine, well, what is the contamination and what can be done with it, and then figure out what's the marketability of that property if it's cleaned up, and try to work that all out so that we can eventually, hopefully, get it back on the tax rolls.
So you're not talking about properties that were taken that are floodplains and then around the Fox and all that we've been taking and then just knocking down houses.
Not for these funds.
You're talking about a different set of properties.
These are properties that become tax delinquent.
Just tax.
People haven't paid their taxes, yeah. And we have purchased some properties that had some problems.
Yeah.
So the upper-ups, the administration thinks that it's best if Andy's people who are very knowledgeable in this area, are they going and check them out before we buy them?
Well, we don't buy them.
Taking them over, but then once we own them, we own the problem, don't we?
Right.
Right.
That's why we don't
have to take them over.
Process.
So we don't want to own the process. We don't want to own the
process. Okay, so you're not talking we're going to take them, check them out, take them, so what to do. We're going to check them out. If there's something we can do,
correct.
We can take them over and do it within a reasonable cost.
Correct.
But if there's, and you got cyanide sitting in there, drums, we're not touching
them. Then we won't do anything.
Correct.
But we don't know that situation unless we were able to do at least like a phase one and sometimes a phase two environmental.
Because we take these old things over, a lot of them, to try to sell them.
Right.
And you can't sell them if there's a problem.
Right. Well,
so that's what the 40 grand is for.
With this extra 40 grand, are we actually going to try to sell these properties at a decent market rate instead of just...
Fair market.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just... I think this property's worth
it to
this
the city
much.
For a buck.
Yeah.
There's a whole tax delinquent process now that's being set up, and it goes to finance.
Set up yet.
Well, all I can say is I know the process. I know our role, and I know it goes to finance, and there's recommendations, and now there's in the process, we have to take into account like any expenses that have taken place, so we know, and we can tally those up, and we know how much money was put into it, so we know how much should we get back out of it. But in the end, that falls into the clerk's office.
Right, which yeah. I know their supervisor Nuno has had issues seeing that he's a retired realtor with the value that we're actually selling these properties for.
Yeah, and I can't answer that part, but what I do know is like if we did do an environmental test on a particular property, we will log that, and that'll be show up for them to know that there was that expense was there, and they should take that into account when they set the price.
Well, these are sold at auction, so.
Yeah, but they still set the price, the starting bid.
Oh, right.
Never started at what we got into, and after that, you know, it should be more.
I go to just about every finance committee meeting, and you're mostly right.
but they're getting a lot better at setting the right price. And Gabe's not the only real estate. That board is full of real estate people, and they all have, because Kent's and O'Day, or they're either on or off, and they try to get to set the best price that they can, but it's a working process.
Okay.
This is just to prevent us from, because they've taken out a couple dogs that
yes.
we couldn't get rid of.
Yeah, one. So I think one was in Supervisor Noodle's district.
Yeah, if he catches one or two of them, he's paid for that.
Okay.
So are you saying that this $40,000 belongs, or is more effective belonging in your budget, not the treasurer's budget, that then she pays you to do this activity? Because
well,
right now it's speculation.
Yeah. Basically, because we're doing the analysis and the inspections, that's why it was determined best to be, because we're the ones making the determination, what needs to happen. And then we give a recommendation. Our role is then to do the research and then give a recommendation to the clerk on what should be done.
And this is, if you need, you would bring an environmental engineering team or
yeah, a consultant that does, right.
And that's why it's outside. It's not
right.
You guys.
No, it's not us.
You're contracted with somebody.
We would hire a professional consultant.
The case may be.
Right.
So
typically,
if $40,000.
A phase one goes for about $5,000. A phase two could be 10 to 15. So we just want to have enough that we can at least do
so
one to two parcels.
You're just estimating three properties that you
right. If it doesn't get, if we don't use it, then it's just going to sit there and it will get rolled over to next year.
Okay.
This is the first time that we're putting it in, so we have the ability to do that.
And then I see the revenues are increasing under this.
It's a bit of a misnomer. In the last couple of years, we've gotten revenue from Summers. That's the name on the account. But in 2020, we're going to add Salem Lakes to the pot. And they will be doing work for Salem Lake, so it'll be Summers and Salem Lake, so the budget goes from 50 of revenue up to 100.
Oh, okay, so this 44,000 isn't actually captured in the revenues specifically.
Right,
so
that increase is offset by the revenue.
We're able to now sell a property we spent the money on as opposed to buying it and not being able to sell it because we didn't know. You're never going to be able to catch that extra in the revenue side. At least immediately, maybe somewhere down the road. But.
Correct. In our budget, it's offset, but from a standpoint of how it would happen in reality, that expense would get forwarded to the clerk to include into the price to sell it.
Right.
And where does that money go then when they sell it?
It's on this side of the clerks. They have a budget for that revenue.
But it doesn't come here.
It doesn't come here.
Mm-hmm. But we're budgeting and paying for this analysis. And they're keeping the cash.
It's the county. The whole county.
It's quite a scam to run there. Come back to you guys.
It's the county, but they do it with all these other things.
Yeah.
I mean,
Brookside, golf.
What's the whole building called?
The only reason it's in here is because he can manage the process.
Yeah,
the consultants.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Right.
So this, okay.
So that is under the contracted services?
Yeah, contracted services. Other professional services. Tax deed, property, pre-purchase, investigation.
I got to find that.
So
sorry.
Do we hire the
by
same
two,
person
nine,
all the time
nine,
to do
zero,
this,
zero.
Or do we have a collection of these people? Okay, this one's a specialist in termites, and this is a specialist.
There's a handful of firms out there that do this type of work.
Okay,
right?
So it's not really one specific person or firm.
And it's an environmental, so it's a phase one environmental, so there, or phase two if needed.
There's three, I think there's three that we're kind of aware of that we would probably work with.
Yeah, but basically all environmental based, so if it was a house that had termites, you'd find that in regular building inspection.
Yeah, that we would not be doing. This is contamination to the ground.
Contamination, yeah. I mean, if you had a drum of oil sitting out on your driveway, partway, like at his place, and it just kind of leaked out. You don't have to mitigate that oil. And it's ridiculous. If it hits soil, it's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous what you got. So phase one is going to determine whether there's something there. And phase two to determine what you got to do to get to, and it's all environmental.
right? And I don't know if you remember, but last year, I think I informed the committee on how we had tried to apply for an EPA grant, and that was going to help with some of that. And then, you know, as we get into this further, there's other grants out there to pay for the cleanup. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we run into something, we're gonna try to get those.
Yeah. Yep.
So I see in the other professional services, that specific line. So in the past, in 2018, our actual was 10,000. So far, it's been 2,500 for 19, which we budgeted 30 grand. And this year, it's 70 because of that 40.
Yeah.
Are we over budgeting with that 30 grand? And where have we, I mean, when we didn't spend it in 18, where did that money go? It
goes back to the general fund.
The actual general fund, or like a segregated or fund? What do we anticipate?
D&D's money goes back to, they're all part of Fund 100, which is the general fund. If they don't spend it, it just goes back.
Okay, so what are we planning on, what are we expecting for 2019, since our actual is, as of 6:30, is 2,570?
So typically, and how we've always wanted to have that operate, is that there's always funds there available if we ever have to get any contracted services for anything. Sometimes when we have some studies that we have to do, and we might have to seek out like sewer pack to do some studies, like when we did some, we had to study some floodplain on Hooker Lake, we would have those funds available to be able to do that. So it's contracted services as the need comes up, and then if there is no need, it just goes right back or gets rolled over, however that works.
Well, likewise then, Jim, is that then available if it stays at 30 and all of a sudden Andy needs another 5 grand to do some environmental study, he can then go to the general fund and get 5 grand?
The way the budget thing works, in public works, everybody's got, each department has a group of 5,200 accounts, and Highway has a group of 5,200 accounts, and Parks has a group of 5,200 accounts. So if Andy spends over at 52,990 and he needs an extra, this happens with every department in the whole county, they can go to another account within the 5,200 group and take money out of there automatically, as long as the total 5,200s don't go over the budget. And if that starts to go over the budget, in any, like the sheriff's department or our public works department, you can go to another division, to their 5,200, and take money out of their 5,200, as long as they don't go over. That's the way the whole thing works. You have to keep the whole 5,200 thing in sync. And if you go over, if everyone's over, then you've got to go back and get extra money, go to reserves.
There's plenty of 5,200 money in the entire county budget to cover things of this nature. And we're not trying to be nitpickers. Just that's a big jump. And even though this is the smallest budget in the entire, of all the divisions there are, and one of the most effective ones there is, it's the fact that this is a significant jump. And then I look at what's actually being utilized, and knowing that there is a significant amount of other funds that are not being used up each year, because the general fund keeps growing.
Well, I can't speak for the 5,200s in other departments. I just know our 5,200s. And if you don't need it, you don't spend it. I mean, I really don't think we get the impression that if we got money there, we try to spend some. It doesn't work like that.
It's kind of where my question is going. Do we have, because I know they've been buying up these lots, but these tax delinquent properties, it was something a couple of years ago, they were going to put their hammer on it to get to it.
Yeah.
We identified how many are out there now that are tax delinquent.
Oh, yeah.
And what's that, and what's the percentage of those that we generally end up taking over, because some of them automatically come out?
Every month they give a report on the number of properties that are out there, how many they've tried to give to the city, what all the offers that they've made to people to try the deals.
The county has control of that, then.
It's the treasurer's
department. They do,
no,
they do
it's
now.
The treasurer's department.
They do
now. Treasury.
Because when the tax bills go out.
County gets theirs first.
No, no. The, I mean, it's at come, what is it, April 1st or whatever date, if those tax bills haven't been paid delinquent or they have a payment plan where they're paying January and July, the county writes a check to each municipality for those amounts that haven't been paid. So once they become delinquent, which is over 3 years, then we can take them back, those properties back, and sell them to make up for that money that we had to pay for these debts. So municipalities are not the money, or the schools, it's the county that covers the debt.
So the county gets the debt, and so the county gets the...
The deeded parcels to try to sell to make back. Am I correct in that?
It was very succinctly said.
Okay.
So with that...
I don't think I heard it said that good in...
What's the edit new words?
It's recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
So what typically, I mean, is there a number we see every year that we're kind of buying?
You're really not talking to the experts here. That's
we,
not
we
our...
Not buying
it's
it.
Not our gig.
Obtaining and then, you know.
It was bad during the recession.
Yes.
The worst.
Right.
I mean, and I know
that's
we had...
That's kind of what I'm looking at now. They're talking about another
sheet,
recession.
I had a sheet, one sheet, but I can't find it, that said what our tax delinquents properties were, the dollar amount.
Yeah.
And it got out of control because the Treasurer's Department was not doing their job and just... not trying to collect the taxes or not trying
right.
to take the parcels.
Right.
And so we were up to what, like $8 million?
It's gone from 8 to like 3 or
yeah.
something. It's been chopped better than half. They've really done a good job of collecting money.
Okay.
IT got involved, they wrote a whole bunch of programs to help them. They hired outside staff to come in to call people and talk to them to work out payment plans.
Right.
And if they couldn't do it, then they just took them over. And
did you have an intern helping? Didn't we have an intern in your department?
Last year, Ian? Yeah, yep. Ian was working on some of that because we had to do a lot of research because we had to get... We helped with doing the research to get caught up on all those properties that accumulated. The end of this year, they'll be caught up. And so now, going forward, it'll be...
3 years.
It'll just be every 3 years. And I can't say 100% caught up because there's still some stragglers that we're still trying to work on, and some of these that are contaminated, and that's why we want to try to get those off the books or get direction.
And it was your work during that got you this extra line item.
Right, that's it. We earned it.
You do a good job, you're going to get punished for doing more work.
Right.
Oh, that got recorded. It's much better than ever. A lot of people have done a lot of work.
Yeah, so Mark Melgard in our department, he does all that now.
He does the inspecting of the properties?
Right, yep.
Okay.
He has to type in and fill out the information.
Welcome, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thanks.
We are on page 139 of the budget book.
I apologize, got to look up for it.
So what were you saying, Supervisor Sklitsky?
No, I was talking to you,
okay.
Supervisor Rodriguez about it in my space.
Here, we do this for you guys, give you a two-page summary of multiple pages.
So then, Andy, on the revenue side where Jim was talking about Summers revenue, not only Summers and Salem Lakes, why isn't Salem Lakes in there now? Weren't they... from the beginning always using the county, or did they have to go through the Silver Lake, going through that process and end all that before they come and start here? Or what?
So the, I guess, discussions when each community, Summers, and when Salem Lakes became a village, there was this transition where our office continued to provide services at no additional expense to them, and the revenues that we were taking in, we were continuing to take in to cover our expenses. But then after, I think it was year two, then we said, now we need to have a contract, and,
okay.
and that's where we're at with Salem Lakes.
And that's why it didn't reflect on for us, because it was no
correct.
Contract that was
not for Salem Lakes.
Village.
Summers, this is their... next year will be their third year under contract. Salem Lakes, their first year.
Towns don't have to. Just
right, this is just the villages.
Towns are part of the automatically.
Correct.
And Bristol still has no...
They have not shown a desire at this point, yeah.
Who was that?
Bristol.
Oh. Okay. So this is a result of the contract now with the sale of rights of village.
Correct.
Okay.
So the other increase there in revenues is we're just anticipating a small increase in permit fees or land use fees. So we just bumped that up by $5,000. And the development review verification, if we take in whatever we spend, we bill back. So then those expenses are buried in top in various expense accounts. So that is pretty much it for the planning and development budget. There's a levy increase of $7,000 on $500,000 budget, so it's 2% maybe. I think the guideline was 2.5, so 24.
Supervisor Rodriguez, do you have any questions since you're catching up?
I'll try to catch up.
We're okay. We have plenty of time, so.
1.56%.
Where do you see the, where is that 7%?
Page 5.
What page?
Yeah, we're in the planning and development budget on page 5. And
that's what I'm looking at, so where?
Okay, the top part of that box is the expenses, and the bottom part of the box is the revenues, and underneath the revenue, we have the tax line, which is levy. So that planning development in 2020 is going to spend $871,000. Out of that $871,500 is levy.
Okay.
Last year levy was $492,000, so there's a $7,000 increase in levy. The guideline was 2.5%, so we try to stay underneath all that.
So if we didn't have, if we didn't have that $40,000, we would have had a levy decrease.
Yeah.
Well, considering that and the other professional services, I do appreciate what you guys are doing, but I see the underutilization. So I'm going to make a motion to reduce that $40,000 to $20,000. It still gives it $50,000. It should be more than enough.
You mean the
$70,000
to
$50,000? Yeah, $70,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
In other professional
what?
Services.
Page 139. Line other professional services.
This year it was $30,000.
So you want to reduce 70 to 50?
Correct.
Based on 2008, we spent 10, and so far we've spent 2,500. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. And you won't see much more by the end of the year of this process.
This year, I don't think so. No, not for this year.
Second.
Okay, well, I have a motion by Supervisor Skolinski and a second by Supervisor Nordegan. Chip?
Well, I just want to say we've spent $11,975 in that account so far year to date. So I'm not so sure where his number's coming from because I just looked it up in the general ledger today. There's a bill from a company called Superion, which is our IT people for our new system, and then another bill from Rukert Milkey for some project, for $1,200 some project that they did. So we spent $11,975.
Oh, yeah, because this was from June.
Yeah, that's what
yeah. I'm so sorry. You have from today, like today.
Sorry, it took me a while to catch up to you.
Well,
he was ahead of me, so.
This is what happens when you fall asleep, John.
Well,
I'm sorry,
I
got on the tape.
But if we're projected by the end of the year here to spend $30,000. Refresh me if I missed
that was
it.
That was budgeted. It was 30. They've spent $11,975 so far.
Okay.
Projecting that they're going to spend.
A lot of times that projection covers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is based on June, so. Yeah.
No, that's fine. So they're at 11,000 now.
Yeah.
Do you have any known bills that aren't due yet?
He just told us.
He just paid them.
So we're at 11.
We're at 11.
Oh, okay.
We're still.
Almost 12.
I was going to say 12. We're still further away from the 30 than we are closer to the 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so by the end of the year, you're projected to be at 30,000, is that correct? Or do you project to be past that?
We budget for something in this account because in years past, all of a sudden, Andy's got to go do something and it costs him 10, 12 grand.
Okay.
If we don't get anything other, any other bills for the end of the year, we'll be at 12 grand. If we spend at the current rate, we'll be at maybe 20 by the end of the year, not 30.
Where are we, I mean, what do we plan on doing next year that we need a $40,000 increase?
You missed that.
That was my question, so if I missed it.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Andy, you want to explain?
Yeah, so that shows up down in the expense notes and bottom of page 5, 52,1900. So it's to be, it's listed as tax deed property pre-purchase investigation analysis. So through the tax deed process, our office does the review and investigation of the properties of what their status is. And so the additional funds are being requested so that if we have to do a phase one or phase two environmental analysis on those properties, that we can do that before we actually take the property. In the past, those properties were taken by the county and then they would sit because they were contaminated and no one wanted to touch them. Before we take them now, we want to know that and know what we have to do. And so a phase one runs about $5,000 for a medium-sized lot, and a phase two is about $15,000. So we want to have enough to be able to do a couple every year if they come before us.
Okay, so then now we're at, give or take, $11,000 spent.
$12,000.
Right, but you got to take out that 40 for this year. There was no, the 40 is just for next, starting next year.
No, I get that, but okay. What we spent from that line is we're right about $12,000. You said at the current rate,
20.
We might finish around 20. So that leaves us with an extra.
No one knows because there hasn't been a demand out there.
Yeah. There's nothing that I
but
know of specifically.
You know, except right. People's about the only one. Any of these consulting or repairs, when you get to the repairs, I'm really going to talk a little out of school here.
Let me finish.
Okay,
me finish.
Sorry.
So we're looking at 20,000 then, based on what we see today, without any unforeseen circumstances. That leaves 10. Mike wants to reduce this, the 70 to 40.
No, 70 to 50.
And is that because you factoring in that 10,000?
Absolutely. Yeah, but that'll go to the
general.
I'm just saying in general what we've been budgeting. In 18 was 10,000. It's grown to 30. Now we're jumping up to 70. And I'm not saying that these contaminated properties don't exist or this isn't a real expenditure. I just don't think we're over budgeting in that particular expenditure. Next year I'll find out and then you let me have it if I'm still on this committee. But I just don't think that there's. It's
so in eight, I mean, last year we used $10,000. This year we're already at 12. May end up at 20. I mean, I would go lower than 50. I don't like seeing money get over budgeted, mm-hmm. sent to the general fund, and then it just sits there and we don't use it the next year, and instead we raise the levy.
Well, that's. I concur. We're raising the levy for like $7,000, right? That's. Okay, so my point is that we can reduce that by 20. It's a worthwhile plan or program that Andy is advocating for. You can see that this is going to be something that we don't know how much. Next year comes back, we use 30. Trust me, I'll get my pen out. We'll cut it more.
Okay. Yeah, no,
that's my only thought behind this.
Okay? The only comment I'll just make with that is because we don't know what will happen with the tax delinquent program. And again, we always want to have enough in that account, as Jim kind of explained, that Zach, you kind of missed, for any consultants that we may have to reach for throughout the year that we just can't anticipate, like the couple years ago when we had to do some floodplain study on Hooker Lake, and then we had to hire Sewer Pack to be able to complete that. So that was an expense we didn't know of at this time, you know, but then we had those funds that we could do that. So that's why we had asked that there always be at least something enough there to cover what could be anticipated.
Yeah. And you know, if it comes in, Andy, I'll be right in front there if we've got to advocate for a budget modification because we've got properties that were taken in due to tax delinquency and you can't find the money within the public works budget, which I find very hard to believe. We'll find that money for you.
Yes. And the thing is, it's still an unknown. Next year is just as unknown as what we've got to the end of this year.
Right. I was just trying to give an explanation of why that 30 was always there.
And we are putting more in. So.
Right. It's going to be a combination account to take into account consultants and those for environmental.
So I have a motion
on the table and a second to modify that line, that $70,000 line, to change it to $50,000. Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. So that line item has changed to $50,000. Any other questions, motions, or comments?
Medical insurance went up. Do we add employees, or is that just rising costs?
We got the same number of employees, so somebody made it. We actually try to budget at the individual level, so somebody would have had to change there. Either go from zero to something or go from single to family.
Okay. And their employee count did go down from 5.25 to 5 due to the conservationists that left.
I have a question, and it may be appropriate for this committee, as opposed to what's in the room, and it's with the bond in. And we have an empty space in this building.
There's no bonding in planning and development.
Yes,
there's no capital projects.
That's all public works.
It's all public works and joint services.
Is that it?
Right, Jim, is that right?
Yes.
You need to be later. Because I'm on that committee.
Any other questions? Comments?
No.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the budget?
We have to go over the tree and the...
That's separate.
Yeah, okay, motion.
No, it's all...
They're separate votes, aren't they?
No.
They're not anymore?
We do it all at one.
Yeah, we do it all at one.
I thought they were separate. Okay.
Second.
Wait, no, we got to talk about this first.
I think finance does them separately because they end up different, but for us, we can do them all together.
Okay.
I unmotion.
Okay. The page six, there's four other little departments or divisions or ways we keep track of the money. One's called the Board of Adjustment. We just keep the budget from one year to the next year the same. It's, I don't even think we spend that much.
Yeah, because we also board shrunk. Did that board shrink because you're only down to 3,000?
Yeah, we reduced it, didn't we?
The board was reduced, correct.
Yeah,
the
board was reduced.
By two positions?
Correct.
It was reduced from 5 to 3.
Correct.
So that's $8,000 in levy. The rest of the other departments, the tree planting program. Let's see, tree planting program in 2018, they had expenses of 15 and they had revenue of 22, so they made money in 18. In 19 so far, and it's pretty much done for this year, they had expenses of 13 and had revenue of 15. So both years they made a little bit of money. So there's no levy there. Revolving pre-development is if we have to pay some development expenses, we just turn right around and bill back the developer for it. So that's a no levy item. And the same with land and water management.
So if we reduced, I know you said you just carry over the budget every year for board adjustments, can't we reduce per diem, mileage? I think being paid by Spike on there.
Yeah, it's per diem tax.
I'm sorry, what?
Why is FICA on there? Is it per diem tax?
It's a salary, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're paid
a salary
for each meeting, in other words.
Yeah, whatever they say. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And if you reduce them, we've got two less board members.
Yeah.
There's no reason to carry over a budget that was budgeted for 5 and we've only got 3.
Carry it over? It just,
no,
if we don't spend it, it doesn't. It just stays in the coffers. It just stays in a general fund.
We don't carry
anything over the next year.
No, that's what I'm saying. What you're saying is you carry it over your proposed budget from year to year.
I mean, why do we keep it the same?
Right.
It could be changed.
Why wasn't it changed?
Because I didn't know there was less people on that board.
Shame on Andy for not telling.
All right, so I say I'll bust out my phone and do a calculator, divide these by 5, figure out what
But let's see, in 18, the actual was $1,500 and we had 5, so that's $300 a person.
Okay.
That's easy math. 19, the actual is $650 halfway through, so that'd be $1,300. Has it been 3 the whole time?
No.
So it's kind of been a little skewed.
It just changed.
So if it's probably close to 300 also a person based on. So you want to put a little page. I'm on page 357.
3450.
So do you want to like round it, make it 500 a person, and move it to 1300?
Yeah, 5750 per diem.
That was for six. That was for five. But we've actually only paid about 500.
They used to meet twice.
No, 300 a person.
Yeah, if they do it, it doesn't matter.
Well, divide that by 1150.
We're starting with per diem.
Right? 50.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
So it's up to 3450.
So instead of 15.
Yes, we budgeted that, but we haven't used it. Like
so instead of 57. It'd be 15 for DM.
You got to make that motion.
Well, I want to make.
Okay.
I'd like to do all of them as we go down.
Okay.
I'm not sure if FICA would change then.
Yeah, that's a percentage.
Right. So.
That's like 25%. Usually it's 25%.
Is FICA 7.62% of the salary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but 60% of what it was.
So 10% of the salary. To round up a little bit.
But I mean, is that number would reduce, right?
Yeah, 10%. Do 10% of 1,500, which is 150.
Okay. So then, two, four. So that's $300 for two people. There's only budgeted 440.
No. 300 total. You're talking about for FICA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're reducing it by 140. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So 1,500 for the first one. 300.
Does that make sense, Jim?
Whatever. I don't know what to tell you. It's a couple thousand dollar difference that ends up back in the general fund and recrunched with the next year's number anyway, but whatever you want to do. It'd be about 1,500, 10% of it is 150, so that means you have to go less than that, or it'd be about 130.
Saying 130 for FICA.
That's about 8% of 1,500. And the 20,000 for legal fees and the 20,000 for revenue, that's just if we had legal fees, we would charge it back. So those are really a push. You could make that number anything and it nets out to zero.
No, that's fine. Okay, so.
And mileage and travel is whatever you want to try to make it.
Is there an actual in our book for.
Yeah, it's the third, fourth line down.
486 bucks.
357.
Yeah, 500 bucks.
As of 630.
Sure. Yeah, so 6,000.
Okay, so then make that 1,000 divided by
okay.
6.
So that budget becomes 26,30.
2630?
1500 plus 1000 is 2500 plus 130 is 2630. If I leave the 20,000 as a positive and a negative,
yes.
If you change it to any other number, it's not going to change the bottom because they have to be equal to the opposite.
Right.
Or they should be.
Just wait for a second.
Is that page 357.
Uh-huh.
I ran it out.
Okay. So it's running out.
Running
late. You can
sit on your computer if you want to. I can do that too. Yeah. My computer because it's back at Apple getting fixed.
Yeah. Oh. But this is what I'm getting at. So if you just, I'll make the motion here in a minute to change this, and when I make the motion if it passes, that's $5,390 in savings. That instead of raising the levy on what we just talked about. Close to 2%, it would have been less than that. That's my whole point of this. There's a lot of slush fat in these budgets that just get carried over year to year to year to year. We never change them. There's miscommunication amongst departments where I didn't know there was less people involved, this, that, the other. I mean, if we do our homework, there's a lot we can find in there.
Yeah, when the budget process started, we were still at 5, and so that changed since then, and because we were working towards that. We just didn't know when that was going to happen. But it happened last month.
So, all right, I'll make the motion to let's try to see how I word this.
You don't have to just say what it is.
Okay.
Write it down.
So I'm going to make the motion to adjust the $5,750 to $1,500, the $440 to $300, leave the legal fees.
Wait, did you have $300 there? What number? He had a different number. What number did you have?
$130.
Make it $130.
Okay. So $5,750 to $1,500, $440 to $130, leave the legal fees, and then reduce mileage and travel to $1,000.
Which means the bottom line is $2,630.
Because the revenue and the legal fees cancel each other out.
Okay.
So it's like zero. Whatever we bill back.
So instead of the $81.90, it's $2,630.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Supervisor Rodriguez and a second by Supervisor Skolinski. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Okay. any other questions about any of them that we went over?
No, I think the rest of this is important.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Amended. Okay, I have a motion to approve the budget as amended by Supervisor Poole and a second by Supervisor Skolinski. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Okay, that's it. We're done.
You know, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job, committee.
That's 25 grand.